WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The heat index could exceed 110 degrees for millions of people today. More than 130 million in the U.S. under a blanket of dangerous heat that stretches from Texas to Maine. Flooding is a concern in the Midwest. Temperatures are much cooler in Scotland, where President Trump is playing golf at a course he owns on what the White House calls a working trip.
The president has officially landed here in Scotland to begin his four-day international trip. And the focus is going to be a mix of golf, family business, but also those ongoing trade talk. The president does have a meeting scheduled with the British prime minister in which he says they plan to fine-tune that trade deal that they reached on the sidelines of the G7 summit in Canada just a few weeks ago.
Before departing Washington, the president did not rule out pardoning Ghislaine Maxwell, the longtime companion of Jeffrey Epstein, who spoke for the last 2 days with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. This is ABC News. Authorities investigating last week's explosion that killed three Los Angeles County deputies says they've discovered what happened and that there is another threat.
Investigators have now determined it was a grenade collected in Santa Monica that exploded and killed the three arson investigators. They had believed it was inert, but a second grenade they collected is now missing, says L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna.
In addition to conducting the post-blast investigation, the ATF will be assuming full control into investigating the whereabouts of this other device that is missing.
He says they've searched everywhere for it, even in deputy lockers, and they cannot find it. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Authorities in New Orleans are searching for a jail inmate who was mistakenly released on Friday. Khalil Bryan's release was due to human error, according to the Orleans Parish Sheriff. There's a manhunt underway. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The John and Gordy Show.
Never regret having an adjustable bed frame. We got two twins, put them together, so you know each of us could adjust the bed frame the way we want.
You and Ann, your wife.
Yes, with
not
Ann.
Talking about John and Gordy. Just clear. People are raising their eyebrows. We're only here for 2 hours. 6 to 8 a.m.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Even some of the lawmakers who voted for the One Big Beautiful Bill Act say they weren't aware of everything in it. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden says the effects of the bill's most controversial parts, like changes to Medicaid and SNAP, won't be felt until after the next midterm election. He says it's fair to think the timing is strategic.
It's almost certain that there are Republicans saying, look, this is going to hurt me back in my state or district as I try to win re-election next year. Can we please put off the pain for the Medicaid recipients and the SNAP recipients until after the midterms?
Burden says the vote became a decision on whether to support the president rather than a focus on the bill's merits. Democrats have already seized on the opportunity to target their GOP colleagues' seats in next year's midterms. Burden says while the attention was primarily focused on tax cuts and Medicaid, many elements of the bill were not thoroughly scrutinized. He thinks the nation will continue to discover consequences of the new law for years.
It's common for Congress nowadays to pass omnibus bills that are really large budget packages. And it's difficult for any member of Congress to keep track of all the things that are there. But this was one of those omnibus bills on steroids.
Many provisions didn't get any discussion on the House or Senate floor, like a $40 million National Garden of American Heroes sculpture park. Burden says Trump's pressure to sign the bill by July 4th was a key factor in getting it passed.
Since President Trump took office in January, there's been very little legislating. Almost no bills passed through the House and Senate and sent to President Trump's desk. This was one. This was a hallmark piece of legislation. It's going to be a defining piece of legislation in next year's midterms.
For Illinois News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some isolated showers or storms, otherwise mostly cloudy, with highs in the mid-80s. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the upper 60s. Sunny, warm, and humid for Sunday. Highs around 92, the heat index pushing toward 100. Sunday night, mid-70s.
Currently, 72 degrees.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our Monday show, it's National Water Park Day, and we've got tickets to Chula Vista's Water Park.
And also, check out our John and Gordy I Survive Atwood Fest t-shirt.
Listen to them weekday mornings, 6 till 8.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, Mantown? It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. And as always, you know I get it from my mama. The intellect, the beauty, the teeth, the whiz, and the I don't give up attitude. Okay, that's all my mama. She's no longer here. Rest in power, my mama. I love you. I think about you every single day. Maybe not every single day. That would be lying. But often enough where you're constantly in my energy field. So as always, I would like to check in with my people. I'm supposed to have people here. It's just me and my white boy, Luke, today. My favorite white boy, Luke. So how are you doing today, Luke?
I'm doing all right. It's been a weird month.
Yeah.
It's very... what would be the word, I guess? The opposite ends of the spectrum. There's been a lot of highs and a lot of lows. Mm. And so it's been a little bit of a roller coaster,
yeah.
a little bipolar kind of
yeah.
month.
Ooh,
it's okay. Like, so I'm just trying to, you know, make it through. We're here wrapping up the month of July soon and just trying to finish it out strong. It's wild that we're already this far into the year.
I know, it's really weird and wild. The summer always goes fast here, though, like in Wisconsin, I feel, because we only get a couple of days of warmness, and it definitely has been bipolar, okay? A lot of you guys have seen me on the news, so we're not... I think it's hard to tiptoe around that when it says, I think it was Channel 3 or Channel 15 when they was like, breaking news, Brandi Grayson. I was like, breaking news? Did I hurt somebody? Did I kill somebody? But it was definitely newsworthy, I guess. And then on the news, it says, Brandi Grayson breaks door with hip. That's really interesting, you know, because that really would mean that I would have like a bionic hip. But we're not even going to talk about the details of that because I have not had court yet. But I also will get into the tea because I know people on Facebook ain't tuned in for nothing, right? All the people jumping on like, what's she going to say? But I ain't going to say too much because, you know, my people like Sage and Civic Media, they'd be like, girl, just shut up. And it's so hard for me to shut up. That's what makes me a really good host, you know, radio host. But other than feeling bipolar myself over the last couple of weeks, I have actually been doing really good. Life isn't too bad. Heartache is heartache. Grief is grief. Loss is loss. And when I put everything in perspective in my world, all I can have is gratitude. Gratitude for what we often call expansion in the trauma recovery world, in the therapy world, where we call growth and contraction. Growth hurts. Letting go of things hurt. It doesn't feel good. But also there's always this thing that happens afterwards. I mean, I feel like every time I have a low, there's this, I birth something new. So I'm excited to figure out what I'm birthing. So we're going to leave it there. And also just a reminder that I am the CEO and founder of Urban Triage, a nonprofit organization that services the Dane County area, and we provide direct services, housing services, and support. We run multiple agriculture programs, and we provide free produce from our office every Thursday. So if you're listening, you're in the neighborhood off of Park Street, stop by, grab some food or some free produce from our organic farm. Last week we had collard greens, green beans, squash, okra, and my black people, we know we love okra and collard greens, okay? What else do we have? I cannot remember. Oh, I think we're, no, we don't have tomatoes yet. They're not quite right. And we don't have carrots yet, but we will. But we have a whole...
It's got to be close for
both
of those.
Yeah, it's very close. They drop pictures in the chat. I was like, we're almost there, you know? So it's really fun to like follow our chats because the folks who actually do the work is very excited about the work. So shout out and big ups to our agriculture team. So stop by 2312 South Park Street every Thursday from 1 to 4 p.m. for your produce. We don't ask for IDs. We don't need anything. You just grab your bag, collect all the produce you want, all free, grown by our experts at Urban Triage. So shout out to our team. And today, our focus was going to be part two on the perspective of Black trans people in the movement of the LGBTQIA movement. But our co-host, Felicia, was unable to make it this morning. So I'm sad about that. So we have to figure out how to fill in things. And I hate to fill in things on last minute because then I end up talking too personal, because what else do you have to talk about except for personal stuff, Luke? So
we got some clips to play. We got some things to talk about.
But watch me bring it right back and y'all gonna be like, see, I told that girl. Like, but I also want to talk real quickly, giving my team all the love and shout out, because when I'm in the news, I'm in the news often. So let's just start there. Like, I, you know, people love to love on me. And you guys might think it's hate, but I think it's love turned inside out. That's what we'll call it, you know.
Well, that's what they say. Folks say that the opposite of love is not hate, but indifference.
Indifference.
And so if you want to look at it one way, I mean, hate is more of a way that love gets expressed, but not necessarily the opposite of love.
Okay, let's go ahead and look at things as the glass is half full, okay? I try
to do it that way.
So I was talking to my, so as you guys may know or may not know, listeners here on the Black Conversion Show, you're tuned into 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson. So as some people are aware, I teach transformative work groups. And I teach people how to recover from trauma, how to be accountable, how to be aware, how to stand in integrity. And I do that with my staff. I do that, and we have Supporting Healthy Black Elders, which is every Thursday. I talked about that last week. Our elders are off the chain, y'all. We have 30-something people in this class. They're 55 and older, and it's just been a very positive experience, but they be off the chain. And we also have Supporting Healthy Black Families. We are another work group that meets every week. That the age group for that work group is between 25 and 65, so that group has elders in it. And then we have another modified group specifically for elders. But we also have Supporting Healthy Black Agriculture that it kind of intertwines or integrates some of these distinctions in language. And I'm telling you this because when I showed up on the news, so basically the news put my private life in the public, right? And I had there was an incident. As the news said, my hip hit the door and it broke. And then the police was called and whatever. But what I want to be accountable for, and which I did with my staff a couple days ago, because we teach trauma recovery. So me and my staff, shout out to y'all. I absolutely love my staff. We talked about what integrity means and using the framework that we talk about. Like, when you step out of integrity, what does that mean? And how do you get back in integrity? So I had my staff identify how I fell out of integrity, how I impacted our organization, how I impacted how people see me, and how and what I'm supposed to stand for, and people's expectations of me is also a part of integrity. And one of the things that came out of that conversation with a male employee was like, he said, and I'm gonna share, he said, you know, it's been really hard for me to be in this space for Supporting Healthy Black Families, because I knew you didn't know that we knew, but we knew what was going on, and we knew that you were dealing with or tolerating things that you shouldn't have been tolerating, and it made us have less, he didn't say respect, but it felt like you were a hypocrite, right? So that was a really deep conversation with my staff, and a very, empowering conversation. Luke, have you ever been in a situation or done some things that made you stand outside of who you say you are in the world? Look, like, why are you going so deep? Yeah, I don't want to have this conversation.
No, these are tough conversations.
Right,
that's what. Hey, you're known for it. I have expected when all of a sudden I know it's going to be you and I on the mic this
right,
week.
Right, Mike, like, damn, you ain't got no co-host, no guest.
I don't know if there's a whole lot, but there are a handful of them, and it's more it's usually the way that I find out that whether it was growing up and, you know, thinking that you're playing, like you're more messing around with people that you think are friends. Maybe you go too far it no longer is just joshing around.
Right.
Somebody actually their feelings get hurt because it's not you're more bullying than being like that friendly.
Cross the boundary.
Yeah. And so I think that there's been a number of instances. The first ones that come to mind would be kind of like that, where you like sit down and you're like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Why was that the way that I was acting? Because that's not me.
Yeah.
And I, you know, as is somebody that tries to think about those things and how I show up in the world and how people see me.
Yeah.
I try to avoid those instances where and I try to be my authentic self where I am. But those are tough times.
Yeah. And they're tough and uncomfortable, and they're things that we all have to just sit in. So and I say we have to because that's what expansion looks like, right? When you have done something or moved against who you say you are. So in this conversation, thank you for being vulnerable right now, Luke, because, you know, I just be throwing Luke in here. This is a Black conversion show. We converge. We don't know what might happen. You might get news. You might get tea. You might get politics, or you might get gossip, okay? You also might get a conspiracy theory here or there, right? Throwing you off a little bit. So this is just a conversion. We just converge all kind of ideas, thoughts, and theories, okay? So one of the things that came, like I said, for a couple of my staff, especially specifically for the men, right? It's weird. It's not weird. It's interesting how men have a different expectation from me and than women do. Like, women are more likely to be like, girl, sis, I know where that came from. Sis, I get it. Like, I don't really see you as a hypocrite. I see you as a woman that was in love, and then you found out some stuff that made you emotional, right? We've all been there. Men are like, no, screw that. You should have known better. You should have, you know, like, we expected more. Or, Luke, you want to add something?
Well, and I think it's interesting the way that any perceptions go for that.
Yeah.
Like, when you are looking at that, who is given grace and who is given room to have those experiences?
Yeah.
And who gets criticized for them and who is just like, oh, well, that's just them being them kind of thing. And so it's just a dynamic that I don't know all the details.
Right.
Like, but it's definitely interesting to see how things get perceived for certain people and not others.
Yeah, that's real good, right? And then we know a lot of gender has something to do with it. Misogyny, colorism, racism has a lot to do with it. And the fact that even the fact that the perception, but the fact that it made news, right? I think that's really deep. And I mean, I absolutely was not expecting me, you know, hitting my hip on the door to make news. I did not expect that. I also didn't expect this person to call the police on me. That was another level of hurt, and like, wow, like all the times that we've been in situations and the police is called out of all people, given what we stand for and given what I stand for in a community, added another dagger. But also I want to say this because there's some trolls on, like, these white folks in Madison and Dane County, y'all are going crazy. They are literally losing their mind on social media, on everything, which also is why I think every time my name is brought up, the news covers it, because they know they get a lot of baits, clips, comments, and that gives them exposure, right, or what have you. But I just want to say, like, the fact that my personal life made news, and the fact that, like you said, Luke, there is no grace for what occurred, and the fact that I look like a hypocrite to some, and the fact that there's this idea, expectation for me as a Black woman I'm just a Black woman, right? I'm pretty smart, you know what I mean? I'm beautiful and I'm good at what I do, but this expectation of perfection, right? And this expectation of not being human or impacted by emotions is very interesting. Very, very interesting. So I want to continue to talk about that. And I also want to continue to talk about accountability. So because regardless, y'all, of why we show up the way we show up, what led us to have emotional response, what lead us to stand outside of our integrity, who we say we're being, we still need to be accountable, right? And we talk about this a lot at Urban Triage in our work groups about what integrity conversations look like. So one of the things me and my staff talked about It's me having to have an integrity conversation with myself, with my staff, and with my community, and holding space for all of that, and also not allowing the folks who hate me anyway or disdain me or have this, you know, emotional response to my greatness and my brilliance and my light to dictate the conversation. So there's a lot of nuances that I want to talk about in this and what that feels like and what it means in politics and in the context of white supremacy here in Dane County. So you stay tuned because we're going to get to politics and tea. I want to talk about the race theory and, you know, being banned and how this is connected. I also want to talk about the passport stuff with Africans and immigration. So stay tuned so we can get more into the politic and tea here on 92.7 FM WMDX on the Black Conversion Show. Brandi Grayson is the hostess with the mostest, and I'll be back in a jiff.
Man, I tell the truth, your opinion is irrelevant, but I...
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
It's a party on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge, and you're invited every Tuesday at 5:30. It's just Merle and a girl, and Thursdays on the patio feature singer-songwriter Shelly Faith.
Well, hey, bartender, won't you pour me another...
Music starts at 5:30. It's live music on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge every Tuesday and Thursday. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyOafLounge.com.
Escape to paradise this summer at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Spacious accommodations, perfect for families or romantic getaways. Voted top 10 best water parks in the U.S., championship golf, the longest zip line in the area, and the number one steakhouse in Wisconsin. Book a Chula Vista Resort all-inclusive package now at 1-800-388-4782 or visit ChulaVistaResort.com. Your summer paradise awaits.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years. And we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, I am back. Your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, here on the Black Conversion Show with my boy, my white boy, Luke, my favorite white boy, my producer. He's in the house with me tonight. I was going to say tonight. We in the morning time, y'all, today. And I'm super geeked about today as I mentioned before break, like we're supposed to talk about all kind of other stuff, but we're just going to let it flow. But we will get into immigration, the impact on some rulings on African countries and how it's affecting African business. Because sometimes when we think about immigration and some of the stuff that Trump is doing, we think of brown people, Mexico, you know, Latin American areas, but we're not really thinking about the impact on black countries. And it is deep, y'all. It's super deep. So we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about these immigration camps, y'all. They're horrific. They're horrific. So anyway, back to the topic. Before we went on break, we were talking about accountability and how I've been on the news and my face is everywhere. Breaking news, Brandi Grayson. And how trolls are really excited about it because it proves kind of to them, like I told you, I don't know what it actually proves, that maybe I'm not perfect, but I never said I was perfect, but maybe, I don't know what it proves. I'm the aggressor, maybe. Because you know, even in, whether we're talking about white, black, brown, or whatever, when we talk about dynamics in relationships, a lot of times times black women, specifically dark-skinned black women like myself, and someone who's matter-of-fact, bold, and have a lot of masculine traits are often seen as the aggressor. So when there's something that aligns with it or validates it, people actually go crazy. And also, you know what? We're just going to stop there. What I want to transition into the conversation that we continue to have over and over again, which is the dynamics of male, a female, masculine, feminine energy, and the politics of black relationships. And really, when the challenge of being in black love when the world tells you that you should hate each other, and when the world is teaching us that we're not lovable, and how we often spill that over in our relationships. I'm going to have Luke play this clip from this black woman that I just randomly saw. I don't even know her name. But she's asking the question, do black men hate black women? And that's a conversation we're often having. But the fact of the matter, this isn't just about black men. This is about men in general and patriarchy and misogyny. And we'll get into that a little bit more. Go ahead and play the link for me or the clip for me, Luke.
Yeah, this is from Tasia Saffold.
Ooh, that's a hard name. I would have messed that up.
I've been angry and bitter at black women for so long, all right? And I have a whole historical trope about this. Okay, so I told y'all I was gonna come on here and talk about black men's dislike, discontent, disdain for black women and why they are flat out mad at us. Now, you're probably like, well, what makes you qualified to talk about this? Well, I have studied black people and the black diaspora with all of my college dollars, and I also have a master's degree from one of the top radio, television, and film schools in this country that I went to on scholarship. Let's move on, babes. Now, the short answer to this is that black men became economically irrelevant to black women, which eventually led to the rebellion of the leadership of the black man. Now for the longer answer. So statistics tell us that black women have some of the lowest rates of marriage. However, it was not always that way. Even if you go back into slavery times, black people were sneaking off to get married. And even up into the early 1900s, black women had higher rates of marriage over their clear counterparts before the social engineering of the welfare state. And you're probably like, well, what is the social engineering of the welfare state? Well, prior to the social engineering of the welfare state, black people had 78% dual household, mother and father in the house, and these two people were married. 78%. Under the social engineering of the welfare state, i.e. aid, welfare, subsidized programs for housing and things of that nature, the government required that a male could not be living in the house in order for that family to receive aid or public assistance. And this just wasn't written in fine print. There were actual pop-up audits, like a Section 8 inspection that we have currently to this day, that the government inspectors would come out and look for traces of a male in the house. And if they found any shoes, any shirts or clothes or anything like that, you were cut off from that public assistance. If you need proof of this, watch the movie Claudine.
It's a clip of Claudine.
This is right simultaneously in alignment with Nixon's war on drugs, which took the U.S. prison system from 300,000 people incarcerated to 2.3 million people incarcerated, and two-thirds of those people were people of color. So there you have black men being removed from the home. Then you have a war on drugs, which is disproportionately incarcerating black males in particular. And now what do black women have to do? Make it work and figure it out. Then that births a generation of struggling mothers teaching their daughters to go to school, get a degree, and don't depend on a man for nothing. Like and follow for part two, where we will talk about the...
So what I want to also point out that she said, thank you, Luke, for playing that clip, is that the generation of women saying you don't need men. But you know what's ironic about it? Our fathers and our uncles and our granddaddies said the same thing. They said, do not depend on men. Do not put all your eggs in the same basket. Because sometimes this conversation is like, women said this or women did this. But for men who want their girls protected, whether it's their children, their grandchildren or whatever, what are some things that you heard, Luke, growing up, or you heard men say to women about protecting themselves from men?
I don't know if I've ever been asked that question before.
Welcome to the Black Conversion Show.
Yeah. So I'm one of four. I have one sister, two brothers. And my experience growing up, I think, seeing firsthand was my sister was the smartest out of, like, she was the most intuitive. Mm-hmm. Like, she got the educated the most. She went and got her master's. Mm-hmm. My little brother's now gotten his, but she was kind of always the de facto parent almost. She kind of helped raise me and my brothers, even though she was the second oldest, not the oldest. And so I think my experience, she was always encouraged to go do whatever she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there was ever a context of you need a man to be successful, at least not from my perspective.
Yeah.
Because that my parents were raising her to be whatever she wanted to be.
Yeah. And did you ever hear from, whether it was in your family or outside, of anything regarding like how to protect herself from men? And you can hold that thought, process that. And then we'll come back after the break, because Luke's got all these questions. This is not meant for me. Because I want to identify you guys that this isn't just a Black conversation. Because a lot of times as a Black woman, when I speak it, you're like, you hate Black men. I absolutely do not. I actually love Black men. I mean, I wish I could be gay. But I can't, because I love Black men so much. Oh, my God, do I. Okay, anyway, stay tuned to 92.7 FM as we continue the conversation here on the Black Conversion Show. You do not want to miss it. Your hostess with the mostest with all the politics and tea. We'll be back in a jiff.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The heat index could exceed 110 degrees for millions of people today. More than 130 million in the U.S. under a blanket of dangerous heat that stretches from Texas to Maine. Flooding is a concern in the Midwest. Temperatures are much cooler in Scotland, where President Trump is playing golf at a course he owns on what the White House calls a working trip.
The president has officially landed here in Scotland to begin his four-day international trip. And the focus is going to be a mix of golf, family business, but also those ongoing trade talk. The president does have a meeting scheduled with the British prime minister in which he says they plan to fine-tune that trade deal that they reached on the sidelines of the G7 summit in Canada just a few weeks ago.
Before departing Washington, the president did not rule out pardoning Ghislaine Maxwell, the longtime companion of Jeffrey Epstein, who spoke for the last 2 days with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. This is ABC News.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Miami Marlins. Lefty Jose Quintana on the mound for Milwaukee against Miami right-hander Jansen Junk. The Crew losing last night 5-1. Pitcher Freddie Peralta said there was a real cat-and-mouse game going on between him and the Marlins batters.
I was able to speed them up a little bit because they were trying to slow me down, and I was just trying to get them quick on the box and try to make my pitch and made them out quick because they knew what they with them. But we realized that we had no time, and we made the adjustment.
NFL in Green Bay, Mark Murphy saying goodbye after 17 years as the Packers president and CEO. Murphy holding a final press conference after the shareholders meeting that drew over 6,000 shareholders. Murphy's advice to his successor, Ed Policy.
Fire quickly, hire slowly. So take your time, you know, when you're hiring people.
That's Mark Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its four seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, some isolated showers or storms, otherwise mostly cloudy, with highs in the mid-80s. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the upper 60s. Sunny, warm, and humid for Sunday. Highs around 92, the heat index pushing toward 100. Sunday night, mid-70s.
It's 73 at our studios.
The John and Gordy Show.
I'm damn awful tired of dealing with flat forks. Who made flat forks in the first place? They could have cupped it just a little bit, right? No one likes forks. Am I the only one?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Ben Giles, founder of Laughable Productions and the funniest person in Oshkosh contest. Then, If Walls Could Talk host and podcaster Mike Siegel joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right. It is true. I am back. Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. Okay, so prior to break, we were just talking about the different expectations of women. And we were talking about, we played this clip, and the clip was talking about, and it asked the question, do black men hate black women? And I want to remove the black and just say, ask the question, do men hate women? And one of the things that she pointed out in her video, in her clip, is that black the marriage rate for black families is low, and it started to drop when they, as she framed it, that black men became economically irrelevant because they were removed from the household in two ways. One way was through welfare state, meaning that they had to leave the house in order for families to receive welfare, and families had to get the welfare because they wasn't making ends meet, and the mothers, in essence, were left to figure it out. So one of the things that the welfare state did is they would send people in your house, and they would do pop-ups, they would do inspections, and if you had men's shoes, men's clothes, any trace of a man, then you will lose support services and even like your housing. And then there came the war on drugs, where drugs were intentionally put into black neighborhoods, and then black men were arrested, and then the privatization of the prison exploded, and all of our men are now locked up. So I had asked Luke prior to the break, and then before that, she said, what black women grew up listening to or hearing is don't depend on a man for anything, right? Like, you can't depend on them. And the systemic creation of that kind of environment where that's the truth, where we could not depend on them. And it created this type of hate and resentment for each other. One, we resented our daddies because they wasn't in the house. And then we grew up resenting men that we were engaged in, because oftentimes, like Freud said and all these other psychotherapist experts say, is that we're often looking for in our relationships our parents, right? Or our lack of parents, or the desire to fix that relationship somehow, which often leads to toxic interactions, in my opinion. So prior to break, I had asked Luke, what did you hear in your life growing up? You know, Luke's a white boy. He grew up, I think he grew up pretty well. That's my assumption. I think he had a loving family. I think he had a good surrounding, good context. So it's always interesting for me to hear different people, like what messages they grew up with. So, okay, back to you, Luke. What did you grow up hearing about, like, what women should do to protect themselves from men?
Honestly, I don't recall a whole lot of that conversation, and I don't know if that's just because, like, I think my mom raised me as one of three boys that she was raising, mm-hmm. to make sure that we always respect women, and if there was anything that we ever did to step out of line, mm-hmm. she was quick to correct.
Okay, period.
And so I definitely come from a matriarchal family. I don't know if that's a word.
Yeah, I think
but
it
like,
is.
But my mom, my grandmothers, like, yeah. they were the kind of not the head of the house, but it's mm-hmm. like they set the tone yeah. for the family, yeah. and so there was never really a question of protection that was needed, I think, for my sister, because it was the expectation set that you respect women. And so it is.
So that's good.
It's definitely from the beginning. I don't recall a whole lot of this ever needing to be covered.
Oh, that's good.
And even when my sister and I would get into fights, as siblings would do growing up,
yeah,
like if I crossed a line in just some bickering about who was using the bathroom before getting ready for school, and I said something that was disrespectful,
yeah,
my mom was clear to make sure that I was aware that that was out of bounds, and it was just kind of part of the upbringing.
That's good, Luke, because I think that brings up a lot of nuances, right? Because what I heard you say is actually we never really talked about it because the environment and the tone was set in the house where men didn't do these things and women were allowed to pursue their goals, and they were encouraged to be strong and smart and leaders, and you were encouraged to be respectful. So that kind of environment or ideas about men didn't actually exist in, like, it might have existed outside, but not actually in your home and family. I think that's very interesting because I don't think I've ever thought about that. And I probably never thought about that because I didn't grow up in healthy environments. You see what I mean? Like, it's interesting because for a lot of people in my generation, too many, especially Black people, and this is not absolute because not all Black people grew up the same. We are not monolithic. So I just want to say that. But it's interesting when you're surviving poverty, right? And you're surviving systems and you're surviving abuse, and that the narratives and messages are the same. And what does that look like? And what does that do to your nervous system? Because now you're looking for that. You're actually looking for that kind of relationship, right? You're not looking for the healthy relationship. You're not looking for the men that actually respect you and have an expectation of respect. You're actually looking for the harm. And when you look, you find in life and everything, whatever you look for, you go in the direction of. So that is like an aha moment. I'm so glad you shared that with me, Luke, here on the Black Conversion Show. You're tuned into 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. And I'm just so happy I asked you that question because that just brought up a whole aha moment for me. And it goes back to what I often teach in our work groups and for Black people is that we are cursed in the sense that the narratives we have about life and ourselves and each other, it creates this icky way of being. And then it creates this law of attraction, right? Because you actually get what you think of yourself. Like, so I was listening to Pastor Mike. Please look Pastor Mike up. He's on YouTube. He is, I think his church is in Texas, but he was saying we date people based on how we see ourselves. And I almost fell out because that actually goes back to what you just said, Luke.
Yeah. We were just watching, I forget the name of them, Perks of Being a Wallflower. And the big line from that one is you accept the love that you believe you deserve. And
oh my
so
God.
It's one of those things where your narrative, your self-perception, the way that you show up is, and how you expect others to treat you is going to be what you are going out and seeking and trying to accept.
It is so deep. I'm telling y'all, I got it. It's in my throat. And of course I have it in my throat because my life is pretty public. So it's like, oops, girl, you, this says a lot about you, right? So, and that's the part of accountability that me and my staff often talk about. And the thing about expansion and this journey of evolution is sometimes we don't even know that we think so little of ourselves, right? And people outside of you, most of my haters think very highly of me, right? And that's why people hate, like, is it the envy, the jealous? Oh, she's doing this, she has that. And a lot of people see me as a multi-million dollar person. I don't know why, you know, we got a large contract and all of a sudden she has all the money in the world and all the resources in the world. I do not. And I also think that it's a lesson in how people project what they think on you and think you also operate based on their projection. And I also find it very, I don't have the word, but, oh goodness, I wish I had the word. It's like, I want to say telltale, but it's deeper than that. It's like this is deeper than an aha moment for me. It's like, I can't believe I thought so little of myself. And I can't believe I didn't know that I thought so little of myself. And I can't believe that I was pretending that I didn't think so little of myself. So it's like this whole like ocean of emotions and feelings. But then when you think about what it means to be a Black woman and you think about the context of our existence and white supremacy and how the world actually doesn't think much about us, then it makes sense, right? So here on the Black Conversion Show, we talk a lot about these dynamics, right? And as the host, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM, I live it out loud sometimes. And then that feels icky to people too, because in this context of white supremacy, you actually are not supposed to speak about things. You're supposed to kind of, things that are taboo, things that are uncomfortable, things that are hard to digest. You're actually supposed to keep it to yourself because it makes people uncomfortable. And then it makes people question your intelligence or your emotional intelligence or question your leadership. But the crazy thing about all of this, y'all, is that Brandi Grayson started her work. I'm talking about me in third person. It's like five of me in there, so you never know. But I started my journey in leadership with being vulnerable. The way that people learned about me is because I was talking about my life. I was talking about what was occurring. And as our work has expanded and we've gotten more funders and investors, it's like now you can't talk about those things because that make people uncomfortable and they actually don't want to see you in that light. So for me, it's a balance of being authentic, transparent, honest, and all those things. And also centering the people that we do the work for, the people that we do the work for at Urban Triage here in Dane County. If you'd like to donate, go to urbantriage.org. Support the work, because no matter what people say, we are doing the work. We are doing the hard work. We are doing the hard work, and we are doing the recovery work, and we literally hire the people we serve. So I'm praying and hoping that my journey and my testimony and this whole experience inspire and empower people in their own lives. So anyway, back to what I was saying. I don't even remember what I was saying because I kind of went off like three times. What was my main point before I went off, Luke? Do you remember? Probably not.
I'm trying to think.
It's okay.
Jump three back.
I do that a lot.
It's
I kinda,
okay. Accountability? We're talking accountability.
Yeah, accountability. But the most important thing I think in our world, y'all, is getting uncomfortable and allowing the icky stuff to come to surface so that we can confront the icky stuff. And also realizing that I don't know why people have put me on a pedestal. I am not on a pedestal. I run an organization that I birthed from my heart, and I'm learning as I'm growing, I'm learning. And I have to say, even though I was going through all this stuff like in secret, other areas of my life was actually expanding. So I have become a better manager. I have become better organized. I have become a better mother. My relationships with my children have improved, I would say, over the last year. So there's positive things happening in my life where in my intimate life, it was literally falling apart. But again, the work that I need to do is based on what me and Luke was just talking about and understanding like what I believe to be true about men is a lie. It's not even a lie. It's like, it's true if that's all I see. Does that make sense? Like, it's true if that's all we see. And that's what we have to be careful on. And the harder truth is I've never seen or been in a relationship with a man that was healthy. And that's even deeper, right? Because, woo, baby. And I had, y'all, look, the Black Conversion Show, I tell all my tea. But I got a text last night from this guy that's been interested in me. And I text him back hours later, like, look, I like you, but I'm not on none of this, right? I need to take time to heal myself. I obviously choose the wrong people. And I obviously like people that are no good. So I'm going to go ahead and get into some self-reflection, spend a lot of time by myself and really deal with what's happening in me. And I know it's because I have daddy issues. And that's even the deeper part. Like, I know it's because I have daddy issues. And I had said in one of my reflections, y'all, again, I'm going to go ahead and share here on 92.7 FM. It's okay. This is a talk show, politics show, tea show, gossip show, and whatever else we make it here on the Conversion Show. But I had reflected in my journal the other day, because when you're just journal and you're just pouring out your heart, I reflected that when my dad first came in my life, y'all, there's two things that occurred. I mean, he might even be watching this, so I love you, Dad, but, you know, I tell my truth no matter what. But one thing that happened is when I was little, I met my dad when I was 10 years old for the first time. I never met my dad before then, never had any contact with him, and I had tried to commit suicide as a little kid. I took all these pills. I had to get rushed to the hospital. They gave me this medicine. I had to vomit. They put this tube down my nose. They had to pump my stomach. It was serious, y'all. And then this man walks into my room in a police uniform. And he says, hey, baby, I'm your daddy. That's the first time I saw my daddy. And then he started showing up a couple of times later. And then it was based on my grandmother complaining about my behavior. And he would come over and he would beat my, you know what? So that's how I knew my father. And then we lost contact for 20 something years. And then when I met my last partner a couple months before, not when I met him, but when I decided to, you know, connect with him, it was at the same time that I met my dad again and the same time that my mother died. So like just reflecting on where I was emotionally and my vulnerability, it was a lot going on in November of 2022. So that's the kind of stuff you get to discover about yourself. So also like there's accountability in the also, we have to be gentle with ourselves, right? Like, I can't go and be hard on me. Oh, you suck. You're this or that. You have to identify what was going on, remind yourself who you are, and then commit to moving differently. So that's what I want y'all to take away from this show and for all the work that Urban Triage do is integrity is identifying, acknowledging where you at and committing to do something different. So please stay tuned. We have more tea, politics. I said I was going to get to the news, but apparently I didn't on 92.7 FM WMDX, the Black Conversion Show. Your host is with the most is Brandi Grayson. I'll be back in a jiff.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Gordy. How you doing?
Oh, Arthur. Great. Great to see you. What are you doing in the studio?
Well, I need to talk to you about doing a commercial.
Okay. Well, you know, to get a commercial on the air here, you just go down to the sales department. It's right next to the bathroom.
I don't think you understand.
Oh, I understand plenty. You salespeople drink a lot of coffee. That's why the bathroom's right there.
Right. But I need to have you make a commercial about commercials.
Wait. A commercial about a commercial? I don't follow.
I want to tell potential business owners out there how to contact me to get a commercial on WMDX.
Okay, I get it. Okay, let's come up with something. Let's see, business folks can contact you directly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. What's the email, huh?
Okay, so it's sales@WMDXradio.com.
Oh, wait, run that by me again.
sales@WMDXradio.com. So we could put all that together and get into a commercial, get on the air soon?
Arthur, my friend, I think we just did.
Advertise on WMDX Radio. Email Arthur, sales@WMDXradio.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We reported last fall that Maine voters approved ballot question 1, limiting contributions to super PACs spending money in state elections. It passed with massive voter support, but like the state's foreign influence ban, was ruled as likely unconstitutional. That's what organizers hoped would happen. The ballot question reads, do you want to set a $5,000 limit for giving to political action committees that spend money independently to support or defeat candidates for office? The act also required super PAC donors to be disclosed. A First Circuit Federal District Court ruled July 15th that both provisions violated free speech protections and pointed to the Citizens United, Buckley v. Valeo, and other past U.S. Supreme Court decisions. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig argues that large contributions to PACs risk quid pro quo corruption of supported candidates, even if a candidate isn't directly speaking with the super PAC. Elon Musk's America PAC and crypto industry super PAC's support of Donald Trump are recent examples. Lessig said in 2023, when the initiative was announced, that it was designed to force the U.S. Supreme Court to answer whether contributions to super PACs can be regulated by states in the same way state candidate contributions are limited. The case will next be appealed in the First Circuit, then could reach the U.S. Supreme Court in late 2026. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Animal enthusiasts, registration is open for Camp Paw Prince Summer Break at Dane County Humane Society. Kids ages 7 to 12 enjoy animal interactions, lessons with experts, service projects, art projects, and more. Visit giveshelter.org/camp for details. And now, Dane County Humane Society has a camp for ages 12 to 14. Camp Wildside is a nature and wildlife camp, bird and plant identification, monitoring nests, wildlife games, service, art projects, and more. Details at giveshelter.org/wildside.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Okay, Luke. That make me hype. That make me happy, too. Why music make you happy? Here on 92.7 FM, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, the woman people love to hate and hate to love. Okay. Anyway, so prior to break, we were just talking about me being accountable and what that means. And I had a couple epiphanies talking to one of my favorite white boys, Luke, my producer. And one of the things that, you know, came up is like, hey, it's actually based on your environment, how you see the world and how you see men and women relationship and the impact on what you attract. So anyway, we're going to conclude that because we can talk about that all day, every day, as we often do here on the Black Conversion Show. Y'all know Black love is one of my biggest things. And also I mentioned some of the trauma that was happening in my life and my daddy issues and all that stuff. So I gotta get back into therapy, y'all, because even when I was in my relationship, I stopped going to therapy because I didn't want to be accountable for my decisions because I knew what I was doing, but I didn't want to admit it. Anyway, moving on. So let's move on to Let's move on to some news, y'all. Like, one of the things I wanted to address is this race theory, the ban on race theory. So recently in Arkansas, oh my goodness, y'all, I just want y'all to know I have an iPhone. I just don't like it. But anyway, I can't, it just keeps doing stuff. Like, I'm trying to get to my notes and it just shut off. Anyway, so talking about the race theory. So Arkansas has been approved to enforce the ban of critical race theory in classroom per the federal court, right? And if you don't know, critical race theory is an academic framework. It goes back all the way to the 70s that centers the idea that racism is embedded in the nation's institutions. It's, you know, that it's true. Like, it's in everything. It's in everything we breathe, experience, all people, activities. And as people known as Black and other races, we know that it's true. But it has been banned. And the federal appeals court ruled Wednesday that Arkansas can enforce the ban in classrooms. They ruled that the First Amendment doesn't give students the right to compel the state to offer its instructions in public schools, which I think is weird. What's your thoughts on that, Luke?
This is a made up solution, or this is a solution to a made up problem, because critical race theory was not being taught in elementary, middle, or high school classrooms.
Yeah.
At least not in the ones that I attended.
No, you didn't even learn Black history.
No. Like, you learned Rosa Parks and Harriet Tubman and
Malcolm X.
Malcolm X.
Wait, and not really Malcolm, Martin.
Yeah, I would say more Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah. Malcolm was referenced at least, but you didn't learn a whole lot about him.
Yep.
And that was pretty much the extent of it.
Yeah, and then you learned that slaves were happy. I mean, we loved.
Yeah, it was a lot of just broad strokes. All like none critical race theory was never taught in a classroom.
Yeah.
It is a like college level, graduate level course, like approach to looking at the way that our nation was founded and the institutions that we have and that we see in everyday life still today.
Yes.
And there are people out there that are mad that there are some college classrooms that have discussions like that.
Yeah.
And they made it sound like this was something that was being talked to third graders about.
Right.
And it just wasn't.
And it wasn't. And I think it should. And I think that's what they were afraid of. So it was a problem that was not yet there, but they wanted to make sure that it never got there. Because imagine us really teaching our children in second, third grade, fourth, fifth grade, the foundation of our country, what white supremacy is, how it is, and how to recognize it. It goes back to the conversations around relationships. When you teach children how to be in the world and they approach the world differently, right? Then you will see Black people differently. You will understand the dynamics differently. If we were taught the language, the words, and the history, the real history, it would actually make us more human, right? To know, right? If Black people can grow up, if we can take all Black children and put them in healthy households where all their needs are met, when they have moms and dads or two-parent households, I do believe two-parent households are important, y'all. I'm not a traditional woman, but I understand as a mother the dynamics and the things I cannot teach my Black son, right? His dad is in prison, y'all. Like, so I am a living, walking billboard for the struggles of Black people in the system of white supremacy. And my son's father was a great father. He was a terrible partner. Because like I told y'all, I attract people that's not too good for me. But as a father, you could never take that away from him. He was a great father. He's still a great father. The brother's in prison and he calls his son every single day. He plays games with him every single day. But I know that my son is missing his dad and he's missing his family. So I'm not a traditional type of person, but I do believe in two-parent households. I think it's so important, y'all. I don't care if it's a man, woman, man, unidentified. We just need two people doing the work. You know what I mean? Because it is a lot of work to raise these children. But I think it goes back into what we were talking about. Like, when we can give people the language and the healthy environment, they turn out different. And in other news, there is a national protests flaring up against Trump in honor of civil rights leader John Lewis. Protests against controversial policies such as mass deportations, cuts to Medicaid care planned at more than 1,600 locations around the country today. Is that today? Because it's Thursday.
This was a couple weeks ago now.
Oh, I'm late?
No. Well, we're talking about it here on Saturday. So it was about 10 days ago.
Never mind.
We haven't had one of these instances in a little while.
We
Brandy.
Haven't.
Okay.
I've been doing really good, but I keep forgetting that. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so let's just say it happened and we'll talk about it later.
The Good Trouble protest. We'll recap it in the future.
Yeah, in the future, because we're always living in the future. Okay. Amen. Here are the Black Convergence Show. But when we talk about the Medicaid cuts, y'all, it is really scary. And I don't know if you guys know, but like my mother, who's retired, I have, so when I say my mother, my biological mother has passed away, but my adopted mother, Rita Adair, she's, you know, she's older. She lives on fixed income or her retirement. Medicare is super important for her. She's going to lose all kind of services, all kind of, you know, what they call prescription drugs. And they're already high cost for a lot of our elders. And the work that we do in our community, one of the things that we're responding to a lot is helping people get their medicine and paying the co-payment for their medicine that's not already covered. That's going to be cut, right? And we already have issues. We also know that a lot of our clinic and hospitals are funded through Medicare. So what will that look like for research and doctors? So the impact will be huge, y'all. So I'm hoping and praying that we get a miracle. I don't know what that means because I don't really know how political systems work. I just know people with money, they campaign, they lobby, they get what they want. Poor people don't get what we want because we ain't got the lobbying money, the power, or the infrastructure. We also know that that's based in capitalism. Money rules the world, I guess. But we, as people, we do have the power as individuals to do something, right? So do something. Write someone, show up, take care of people, be kind to people. You just never know what people are going through. So that's my reminder to you guys here on the Black Conversion Show. You're tuned into 92.7 FM WMDX. Until next week, hopefully I have something better to talk about other than myself. But I actually don't mind talking about myself, but I do want to bring you better news. So until next time, see you later here on the Black Conversion Show.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Analysis compiled by U.S. aid officials, the Foreign Aid Agency, examining more than 150 reported incidents involving the theft or loss of U.S.-funded humanitarian aid in Gaza, failed to find any evidence that Hamas was involved. ABC News has seen the report. The Israeli military continues to accuse Hamas of stealing aid intended for Gazans. There's an East Coast heat alert today from Washington to Philly to Boston. Plus this from ABC News forecaster Samara Theodore.
We do have a flood threat right now. Places like Chicago still reeling. You all are under a flood watch. Down into northern Missouri, we have flash flood warnings in place as we head through this morning. Rainfall rates could exceed 2 inches per hour. These storms continue to roll through in the afternoon.
Frightened passengers jolted in their seats. And reports of at least two flight attendants injured as a Boeing 737 dropped nearly 500 feet, the latest in a series of near misses. This is ABC News.